Oh yeah, couldn't wait long. Although getting a little better. This is Magic at BelowTopSecret.com, coming to you on the General Talk and Squawk feed on the topic of Magic's manic monologues. And okay, got a few grams of Depakote in me here. Starting to feel a little more calm. Feels good. By the way, a nice thing about Depakote is if you suffer from migraines, and I don't happen to, but if you do, Depakote can be effective for that. And also, when I'm taking Depakote, I can be reasonably assured that I will not suffer from epileptic seizures. Yeah, see, there's some perks here. And in this Ramblecast, and yes, be warned, friends, this is another Ramblecast, and I'm still manic. So, yeah, the cover is still flipped off the button there. I'm still just ranting away. But what I wanted to kind of get into more here in this is kind of like how my bipolar affects my behavior on the board and how I notice this kind of behavior in others and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, you might find in some of my descriptions a sense of deja vu. You start seeing some of these behavior patterns in others. And by the way, my theory is that a lot more people are bipolar than are diagnosed as bipolar, and that, you know, quote-unquote medical studies don't necessarily uncover all the variants of what might actually be a commonality in mood swing type behavior. I can tell you this, in the computer business, there are a lot of bipolar people. I know, I used to work with these people, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of them. And you see these patterns evidence themselves in the workplace, and sure enough, I follow that pattern too. And that's the thing. I think because a lot of bipolar people tend to find ways to live their lives in reasonably well, you know, to the point to where it's not, you know, where there are issues, but it, you know, they're still getting by. I think that might be one of the reasons why bipolarity tends to be underdiagnosed. You know, it's not black or white. There's various grades. There's various shades of gray in this sort of thing. And that's the thing. I think anyone, you know, even a quote unquote normal person, will recognize mood swings in their lives. And that doesn't mean you're bipolar. you know, technically you're not bipolar unless it affects you to a clinical degree. It actually causes some kind of impairment, you know, in your ability to function, your sense of well-being as an individual, your personal relationships, and your ability to function in a society. See, that's one of the interesting things, is that all of those things are affected to a very large degree by the nature of your environment. So, you know, one of my theories is that one of the things that can make being manic depressive considered a disorder is the nature of what's considered order. And that's one of the reasons I'm experimenting out here in the desert with trying it my way, seeing how life goes. And the way I look at it is, when I do decide that I have to take the Depakote, that's my acknowledgement that, okay, this is getting a little too out of hand, and, you know, sometimes I just got to pull the stop lever there, you know, just scram the reactor and just like, whoa, okay, hold it there, easy there, big fellow. Although, you know, in reality, I usually do that more as a matter of convenience. I mean, I really haven't had anything I couldn't write out. I mean, I went through most of my life without knowing I had this. And yes, I was like this when I was a kid. You know, there's a lot of different ways that bipolar can onset. Sometimes it doesn't come along until your teenage years. Sometimes it doesn't come along until your adult years. I had very definite, absolute, undeniable, at least looking back in retrospect, symptoms of bipolar when I was a kid, but it wasn't recognized, and I didn't even know it until you know, not that long ago. And even then, after I was diagnosed, I denied it for a long time. And and even now, sometimes I just think, nah, but you know what? Yeah. And I'll get over it, you know. Well, no, I won't, actually. Technically, there's no cure for manic depression. And that's, I think, a clue. Why isn't there a cure for manic depression? Well, maybe because it's not actually a disease. You know, I have all kinds of theories about where bipolars fit. I mean, if you look back in history, you look even in the modern world, you see symptoms of bipolar behavior in famous people, people who change things, people who influence the world, people who think outside the box. So, you know, on the one hand, yeah, we can be real pain in the butts, but I like to think we pay the rent in our own way, you know, that we do provide something. I mean, heck, you know, people go back, they look at the journals of Thomas Jefferson, and it's pretty obvious from the journal patterns what was going on with him. And he's not the only founding father, you know, for us Americans that that was probably bipolar. And so that begs the question, you know, well, yeah, without going to, I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to be a commercial here for why people should be bipolar. I think it's more just my point there is that, okay, sure, maybe I'm bipolar. You know, there's a stigma, and yeah, believe me, I know about the stigma of being bipolar because I live with it, and it's there. When you talk about these kinds of things, there's this, woo, woo, oh no, mental illness, and you know, people give you these funny looks, and you know, oh yeah, like I'm just about to freak out and go crazy. Well, hey, you never know, right? Uh-huh, yes, just got to maintain, magic, just got to maintain. Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, people that can laugh at Robin Williams, you know, when I tell him I'm bipolar, it's like, oh my God, he's bipolar. Oh, look out. Better hide our children and our beadwork. You know, it's like, no, it's not like that. No, really, it's okay. I've been checked out more than most people have, you know, and they put me on the street. And that's the thing, not even back on the street. I've never been committed or anything like that. I'm okay. You know, I just had some wild times in my life, you know, and that's the thing. And by the way, I know people who have, who have been committed, who actually were, had to be locked up. And you know what? I'm willing to bet that a lot of people that are in jail that or that, you know, go in and out of jail. By the way, I've never been arrested, never been thrown in jail, anything like that. it's not because I've never done anything illegal. I guess it's just because I've been lucky, you know, I don't know. And that's the thing. I'm not violent. I don't have a history of violence or anything like that. I think there's a, you know, there's a lot of fear that, you know, the xenophobia that people can have. It's like, oh my God, you know, they find out, oh, you have a, oh, you're manic depressive, huh? Okay, so, you know, and they think about, like, you know, Harvey Milk and the Twinkie defense and all these crazy people that go nuts all the time. And, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are bipolar that do. They just go nuts. They fly off the handle. Bipolar type 1. I've known some bipolar type 1s, and they're fine most of the time. And then one day they tear off their clothes and they run down the street. Or they take all their money out of the bank and they use it to buy glass pigs. Or they, you know, they, I mean, well, a boss that I used to have was bipolar one. And when he would get manic, he would go out every night to a different bar and sleep with someone else, find someone to take home, and became very promiscuous. That was his manifestation of bipolar. And there's many others. People gamble. They drive fast in traffic, you know, thrill-seeking behavior, stuff like that. One which probably is closest to mine, they do these weird projects. my personal favorite story about a guy who was bipolar, he's a successful businessman, but he was bipolar one, which means he was pretty much normal most of the time, would have depression, but then one, for a period of several months, he started locking, well, it was like maybe a couple months, actually, I guess, and he started a secret project in his garage. And he kept ordering all this stuff that get delivered to the garage, and he wouldn't let anyone else in. He kept the garage locked, wouldn't let his family see it. And finally, one night, his wife got just fed up, and she found the key, went in while he was in there one night, because she was just upset that he was spending so much time in there working on this project that was going to change the world. She goes in. It was sort of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. There's this big pile of, like, concrete with all these boards and things sticking out of it. He's standing in there buck naked, you know, working with a blowtorch or something on a piece of metal. It made absolutely no sense what this guy was doing, but to him, it made complete sense. And in a rather extreme sense, that's what it's like for me being manic, you know. Except for me, it might be a project like, I don't know, doing an album. Or some of these, I've got an interesting, you know, there's interesting stuff I like to do, I'll get into. Or, you know, another example is I'll get into Project Serpo, you know, really get into it. And like my thinking as I look back on, you know, this whole Project Serpo thing was that I would like explore the concept of podcast journalism by reporting blow by blow on Project Serpo, you know, and that was my thing that I've been doing on the Project Serpo revelation or hoax thread. And, you know, from my standpoint, that seemed like a reasonable thing to do. And maybe it is. See, that's the thing. My judgment can be kind of a little fuzzy on whether or not something really makes sense or not. Maybe it really was kind of a cool idea to report blow by blow on Project Serpo. But then again, you know, how many people want to actually listen through that many podcasts on Project Serpo? Although I gotta say, you know, looking at my podcast series on Project Serpo, and you know, which benevolent and relentless, you know, got some fellow members that got a shot in there. But man, I was just boom, 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 going with the podcast. When you look at the total amount of time that those podcasts take up, that's like at most a couple of days of Rush Limbaugh. You know, think about that. You know, my whole series on Serpo, it was me talking for about as long as Rush Limbaugh talks in a couple of days. And I did this over a week and a half. And for you people that listen to talk radio out there, I just think that's worth bearing in mind. You know, just how much are you listening to when you listen to talk radio? Oh, you know, and listen to me. Here I am, talking on and on, magic, programming your mind. But anyway, getting back to the topic of mania, while I'm still manic, I see this kind of behavior in myself, you know, where I go through these periods where I'm just on ATS, just on it and on it and on it. And Skeptic Overlord's remarked on this, you know, as an admin, you'll see people and they'll be out there and just like I have in the past, they'll be complaining about ATS. Oh, this is wrong. Oh, ATS, blah, 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 blah. But they're still, they're hitting the new post button every 10 seconds, you know. Ching, ching, new post, new post, new post, trolling the threads. Ah, okay, ah, one of my subscribed threads, somebody changed, you know, somebody posted to it. Got a mother hen threads. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of my fellow members out there who, whether they're diagnosed or not, whether they're aware of it or not, might be at least a little bipolar. And there's other kinds of things too, you know, what we could think of as clinical stuff that I see on ATS. I mean, in studying bipolar and studying myself, I mean, I've been diagnosed with some other stuff too. This medical information. All right. There's almost never a diagnosis of pure bipolar where you're just bipolar and there's nothing else wrong with you. In my case, I tend to have generalized anxiety, also known as generalized anxiety disorder. I also have symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder from certain things that have happened earlier in my life that were rather intense, and manifest themselves in strange ways. And these can, in some of these strange ways can be like, I get agoraphobic, don't want to go outside. Yeah, just a little too hardcore out there. Just don't want to go outside. Stuff like that. Fortunately for me, I don't tend to suffer from a lot of paranoia, but that's kind of common. And just because you have paranoia does not necessarily mean you're schizophrenic or that you're even necessarily psychotic. You can have, you know, paranoid ideation without necessarily being completely off in la-la land. And, you know, even then, what's la-la land, right? I mean, look at the world today, you know. We have this notion of enforced reality, this notion of, you know, what the real world is, what I call, you know, the real world matrix, which is actually just an illusion that is foisted upon us by those who want to control us. Or maybe that's just crazy talk, right? You see a lot of paranoia on ATS, and I know what that feels like. But, you know, what the interesting thing is, you're not, you know, paranoid ideation is not necessarily the same as being fully delusional about paranoia. You know, things to watch out for is if you really do think everyone is out to get you. If you really do, and I sometimes see posts where I see this kind of thing, where people are sure that the government is monitoring them, for sure, you know. And classic symptoms of this, you think that the people on the television are talking directly to you. You think that the guy on the radio is talking directly to you. Or the guy doing the podcast, yes, I am talking directly to you. You know, that can be a sign. And by the way, it can be really hard for people that are in that kind of position. And, you know, there's got to be some percentage of people out there where the government really is spying on them, right? I mean, they do that. We know that. But the trick there, I think, and again, I'm kind of getting a little off here on the paranoia, is that if you, you know, is how much attention, you know, if it really does all revolve around you, that's the thing to look for there with paranoia. Does the world really revolve around you? And if you find yourself coming back to thinking that way, that's something to take a look at because, you know, does it? I mean, each of us is the most important person in our own lives. You know, without us, there is no life for us, right? So, yeah, the world in your universe does center on you. But if you think that everyone else's does, you're probably wrong. In fact, I'll just tell you flat out, if you think that everyone else's world centers on you, you are wrong. Because you know what? My universe centers on me. The thing that makes me not paranoid is the realization that not everyone else's world revolves around me. You know, it's just me. So, you know, no, the government doesn't give a diddly squat about me. And I'm happy about that. I'm just another, you know, just another prol out here in the wilderness. And that's all good, you know? So anyway, You know, but getting back to this whole thing about seeing this kind of behavior on ATS, you know, first of all, conspiracy theorists tend to be labeled as wackos, and I can't say that that moniker is necessarily unearned. If you look at the history of conspiracy theory as a religion, you see a lot of this. You see a lot of people that obviously have signs of mental illness, and I guess I count, hey, whatever. There's a point at which that label becomes specious, and actually that's one of the reasons why I prefer to have the discussion out in the open. And actually there's some fascinating aspects of how mental, you know, what we might think of as mental disorders or mental illness or you know, deviations of thought might dovetail with interest in conspiracy related topics. Which, by the way, I don't think of as an unhealthy thing. When you look at what I look at around my fellow members, like I said, I see some things in some posts that suggest to me that there's you know, something clinical going on there. But you know what? The overwhelming majority of my fellow members, and that includes members that might, you know, show some of these symptoms in their posts, they seem to have their heads pretty much screwed on. I mean, straight. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect, but I'm just saying, you know, really, really crazy people don't seem to be all that common on ATS, even though the stereotype would have us all be a bunch of tinfoilers. You know, you look around, I mean, you know, we have all kinds of people that have all kinds of beliefs, but, you know, we have, yeah, what might be thought of as non-mainstream beliefs. But just look at the mainstream beliefs. Look at mainstream religions. Look at the, you know, look at even secularism and a lot of the political philosophies that are out there. They're freaking crazy. You know, so a person that may choose a different set of beliefs, choose a different way to look at the world, what makes that so wrong, you know? And so a person may have difficulty fitting into orthodoxy. So a person may have difficulty adapting to a society that they see as insane. But does that necessarily mean that this person is defective? And, you know, sure, maybe, but I just have a hard time buying that hook, line, and sinker, especially when you look at the history of psychiatry and the history of psychoanalysis, the history of psychology. You know, we're still figuring this out, folks, and I think that it is tragically misguided for people to stigmatize people who might be thought of as a little different. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, you know, I say that, hey, we all know of cases where people are like truly, truly in need of help. You know, they're just not getting it. They're just not making it. Their problems are so big that they really do get in their way, and they know it too. They usually do. And the thing is, though, it's not their fault, you know, it's not their fault. Hey, I'm bipolar and I have all these funky bipolar symptoms, you know, and a lot of them really tick people off. And I'm truly sorry. But you know what? That's just the way I am. And I've really tried. I have tried to medicate this away. I've tried to cognitive behavioral therapy this away. I've tried all kinds of things. I've tried to drink this away and use drugs and all this other kind of stuff to try and get rid of who I am. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I can't cure the fact that I am me. So I have to go through life like this. And I got to say that it ain't easy, but you know what? It ain't too shabby neither. And maybe that's kind of the point of all this, you know, this rambling, is just to make that case, you know. And yeah, and that's the thing. Here I am sitting here talking and assuming someone's even listening. That's a big assumption. If you're making this far, though, hopefully what you'll get out of this is that obviously I've got some issues with who I am, and obviously other members may have issues with who I am. And you know what? We all have issues with each other and ourselves. I don't know of anyone that truly has, I mean, not even like the Dalai Lama. I doubt he truly is completely 100% just, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe the Dalai Lama, but, you know, we've all got problems. We've all got things to work through. No, I'll say, yeah, the Dalai Lama, actually, and I've met him. He's cool. I'm sure he would say it. It was funny. Just a thing on the Dalai Lama. I was at this thing in Santa Monica a long time ago where he was in town in Santa Monica, California for these mandala things where they, you know, they pour the sand out, and he was staying at this place on Ocean Avenue in you know, in Santa Monica, right on the beach. Well, it overlooks like the cliff over the beach. And I was there, and I was actually, you know, kind of on a little impromptu interview thing, and I was actually sitting at his feet holding a microphone, and it was cool because after the interview, he got up and he actually put his arm around me and he said, you know, we're all here, or something like that. I was really kind of surprised, and it was funny because, but here's the reason why I'm pretty sure the Dalai Lama would agree that, you know, nobody's really quite, you know, quite done. It's just he has a great deal of humility. And one of the you know, the, what I call great, now that's what I'm going to call him, you know, the New Agers that was in the room, you know, said to him, says, "Wow, what must it be like to see the world through your eyes?" And his response was, "Well, you'd need glasses." Anyway, so even the Dalai Lama's got his issues. God bless him. I love that guy. So what's this all have to do with my manic monologues? Well, obviously that I can range far and wide on the topic. And obviously that, you know, I'm a member of the ATS community and I'm bipolar. And I'm pretty sure just from a statistical standpoint, there's other bipolars out there. And when you see bipolar behavior, maybe this is, I'll put in a plug for my fellow maniacs out there. You know, it's easy for us to misunderstand each other, especially in the realm of text. I see this all the time. I do it all the time. I have misunderstandings. Excuse me. In this case of Project Serpo, for example, we see a lot of finger pointing and a lot of people suspecting each other. And this has happened. And, you know, oh, we got new members coming in and, you know, they're just coming in to support Bill Ryan. And, of course, a lot of that does look suspicious. And by the way, for new members or people who are lurking and maybe don't want to be members. And one thing I saw that really bummed me out, and I'm sorry, this is a total digression from the topic, was new members that felt intimidated to post on AboveTopSecret.com. And I just think that is tragic. It's tragic. You know, my friends, think about all the opinions. Think of all the insights we're missing to the extent we intimidate people from posting on our website. Maybe this does tie into this whole mental illness thing, this whole mania thing. Because maybe, you know, maybe you are afraid. Maybe you're worried. You know, maybe you come to AboveTopSecret.com and you do feel paranoid and you really do think they're out to get you. You're worried about the world. You're worried about what's happening. You're afraid. You know, I know how this feels. I suffer from generalized anxiety. You want to look that up? It basically, it means I worry about everything all the time. You try not to let it get me down, but you know, it can really be overwhelming sometimes. Now, like I said, sometimes I just can't even leave the house. I just got to stay inside. I just can't go outside. I just worry too much. All these scenarios constantly playing out in my head. Oh my gosh, if this happens, then that will happen, then that will happen. I see a lot of generalized anxiety on AboveTopSecret.com. And you know what? I just want to let you know, let my fellow members out there that feel it. I know how it feels. My message is, even though sometimes I find it hard to believe myself, is that I really do think that in the end, it's going to be okay. You know, it's not easy. Life is not easy. The world is a dangerous place. We're all going to die. Life is a terminal illness. No one gets out alive. And no matter who you are, no matter how grounded or how sane you may be, that is a very difficult fact to come to grips with. And maybe that's what this all really boils down to. Maybe, you know, yeah, we have our physiological issues. We have our psychological issues. You know, in the end, life is a very, very difficult thing to get through, no matter how, you know, normal you might be or think you are. So I guess for my fellow ATSers out there who may or may not be sane, maybe there's an underlying motive in doing these magic manic monologues. Just to let you know that you're not the only one. You know, you're not the only one that's got issues. You're not the only one that's got problems. And just because you do have issues and just because you do have problems doesn't mean you aren't okay. You know, I can't imagine how any person can look at the history of humanity, look at all that has happened, all that has gone before us, the nature of human existence on this planet. I cannot imagine how a sane, rational human being can look at human history and look at the state of the world today and not be absolutely petrified with fear. And maybe the stuff that we think of as paranoia and we think of as anxiety and we think of as disorders, maybe that's a rational reaction to the incredible threats that surround us all the time. Real ones. Honest to God, real ones. You know, I'm an American. I live in the United States. There's still nuclear weapons that can be dropped on my head at any time. Terrorist attacks can take place at any time. Yeah, what are the statistics? I see these things about statistics. You know what? Nonetheless, just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't, you know? And yeah, there you go, the foundation of fear, the foundation of paranoia. So what do I counteract that with? You know, drugs don't work. They don't take that kind of stuff away. Depakote helps calm me down when I'm manic, and the rest of the time it really doesn't do anything useful for me. And it really sucks when I'm depressed. I can't take it when I'm depressed. But what's worked best? Meditation. Meditation, radiant meditation. You know, I hang out. By the way, I saw Brother Paul Richard probably trying to come check up on me, see if I'm okay. You know, I hang out on the Society of Light mailing list, and sometimes I'm more of a lurker than anything. And, you know, it's interesting because we do seem to have, it's interesting, without any other means of communication, we often seem to kind of have a feel for what's going on with each other, which I find intriguing. But yeah, radiant meditation. If you are a person who you know, is having problems with a lot of things, anxiety, depression, mania, whatever it is, you know, maybe you can find medications that'll help. Talk to somebody. You know, hopefully you can get over the stigma. Different cultures have different issues. Here in the U.S., we supposedly are really progressive about mental illness. Yeah. Well, we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go. Yeah, just talking about it, just saying, hey, I'm bipolar in this society, can still be a big problem for you. Try getting a job like that. Why do you think I like being pseudonymous? I might actually want to go work for somebody else again, you know? Although, you know what? The thing is, whoever I work for next is going to have to accept the fact I'm bipolar. I'm not going to wave it in people's faces, but, you know, I'm not going to hide it either. I'm not going to hide who I am just to get a job, you know? So I don't have to. Yeah. So anyway, on that rambling note, I just want to say for anyone out there that might feel a certain sense of camaraderie or maybe recognize some of themselves in what I'm talking about here, I just want to say you're not alone. And like I said, I think it's ultimately going to be okay. I recommend meditation. Talk about that some more. We got a pod thread on meditation. It's an older one, but it's a good one. A lot of my fellow members out there. And, you know, I'm going to keep talking into the microphone as I see fit. And, you know, if people don't want to listen, that's fine. I'm going to try and get over the apologizing for podcasting. I've been told over Skype that I apologize way too much. And so I'm going to try and work on that. Although I would rather apologize too much than not apologize enough. And believe me, friends, I got plenty to apologize for. Oh, yes, I do. But anyway, I'll leave this off for now and call this another Ramblecast here at about the 27-minute mark. And until the next one, and who knows, you know, we'll see where the winds of bipolarity take me. Just want you to know. Just want you to be well, friends. Take care.